Good morning. I just want to say, sitting where I was sitting, the singing was this wall of sound behind me that was absolutely beautiful. Thank you for lifting your voices in worship. It's beautiful to do that together, and that's why we're assembled, to remember Jesus, to sing about him, to glorify God in doing that, and to encourage one another. Thank you. My name is Robin. If you're visiting with us, I'm glad you're here. Welcome to Fairfax, and welcome to July, although it feels like we're one step closer to the sun. Somebody asked me, does this make you miss Louisiana? I said, no, it reminds me why I don't live there. Today, we're going to begin a new sermon series through studying through the book of Ephesians. And it's going to be a journey through the summer, and I know that we're in and out a lot because of vacations. My encouragement to you through this is read the book of Ephesians. Read through it regularly. It is probably one of Paul's greatest letters, and I think that you can't read through that and not pick up something new every time. I'm calling this series In Christ because that is a phrase that's repeated so often in this letter. Paul is reminding this church that they are in Christ. So Ephesus was a bustling center of business. It was a place of religion, a place of civic life, home to the grand temple of Artemis, and a massive statue of the emperor. It had an amphitheater that held over 20,000 people and a population of about 250,000. And it was here that Paul, a follower of Jesus Christ, an early leader in the church, planted this small congregation in Ephesus. There's this vibrant hub of life happening around them, and these small group of believers met in homes, and they faced immense pressure from the society that surrounded them. It was steeped in idolatry and immorality, and they were struggling with their own identity and their unity as a diverse community that involved both Jews and Gentiles. And so Paul writes this letter to them from in prison in Rome. And he's offering wisdom and encouragement and a powerful vision of what it means to be in Christ. He addresses their struggles. He reminds them of their true identity. And he reminds them of the need for unity and purpose. And as we begin this sermon series, I think the more you read the letter of Ephesians, the more you find a connection to Ephesus. That you or I live in a society steeped more and more in idolatry and immorality. How do we live in this world separate and apart? So today I want to invite you to do something I've never done. You're going to follow along with me. If you sleep, that's okay. I won't judge you. God might, but I won't. When the church in Ephesus gets this letter from the Apostle Paul, who's in Rome, it would have been read aloud to them. They would have sat there and listened. It was like a long-lost friend, a person who they loved dearly, was writing to them to encourage them, and they would have sat and listened to this letter. So today, I'm going to do something I've never done or seen done. I'm going to read the book of Ephesians to you. Some of you are probably already going, that's a lot of scripture. That's a problem if you think that. You'd be surprised the things that people complain about. So today, I want to invite you. It's going to be on the screen. You're welcome to follow in your Bible or Bible apps, or maybe you just want to listen. But I want you to hear the words of Paul, who's speaking to the faithful in Ephesus. And so, let's begin with a prayer. Father, thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That in Christ we move and live and have our being. Thank you for the words penned very long ago by the Apostle Paul that remind the church then and us now what it means to be in Christ. Bless the reading of your word. May even in this time, May your spirit move among us even more than when I'm just speaking or somebody else. May we be blessed by your word for your glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from our God, from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has now freely given us in the one that he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and all understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit. He's guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I keep praying that the eyes of your heart be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all authority, rule, power, and dominion, and every authority, all above that every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them. And one time we gratified the cravings of our flesh and followed its desires and its thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of his wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ, and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. This is from God. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles, that's all of us, by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and its regulations. See, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Wow. Consequently, you are no longer strangers. You are no longer foreigners, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of one household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in him, you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely, you heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written about briefly. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generation, as has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. And although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold witness of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with confidence and freedom I ask you, therefore, don't be discouraged by my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I bow and kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, that it surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled the measure to the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do more, immeasurably more, than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Look, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over and through all and in all. Wow. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and he gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then no longer going to be like infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by the winds of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, and they are separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensualities, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That is, however, not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ. And you were taught in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught in regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on this new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, For we are members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And don't give the devil a foothold. Anyone has been stealing, must steal no longer. But work, doing something useful with their own hands that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, look, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving for all of you. For this you can be sure: no immoral, no impure, or greedy person, such a person is really an idolater, they have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once in darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord, in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That's why it said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but know what the Lord's will is. Understand what it is. Don't get drunk on wine. It leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father in everything and for everything, in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands. Submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands, you ought to love your wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. I mean, after all, no one ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body.
For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it might go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord and not people. Because you know what the Lord's will, that you know that the Lord will reward you, each one of you, for whatever good they do, whether they're slave or free. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not mistreat them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the enemy's schemes. For look, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all kinds of occasions, and all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant of the Lord, will tell you everything so that you may know how I am and what I'm doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. This is the letter to Ephesians. And so for the next 10 weeks, we're going to look at, what does it mean to have a new identity? What does it mean to be made alive in Christ Jesus? And I hope that you'll hang in there with us. Every week we can provide some discussion questions so you can dig deeper into the text. Because I can sit here and talk, and you guys can sit there and take a nap. I'm making sure my kids are awake. You guys can sit there and sleep, or you can dig deeper. And I hope, my prayer for you is that we not only know Christ, but we know the power of his resurrection, and we make him known. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that because of your grace, a gift given that we did not deserve or did not earn,
we can be found in Christ. Thank you for the hope that we have in an empty tomb. Thank you for the anticipation that we live in, looking forward to the day. May peace and grace be upon all of your people gathered here, so that we will know how high and how long and how deep and how wide is your love for us in Christ. I don't think we fully grasp it. How could we? Amazing love. How could it be? Thank you for Jesus. Be with us in the next 10 weeks, Father, as we study through this text, as we move and go along our summer. I pray that you will strengthen us in our inner being by your Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, for your glory. I pray this in his name. Amen.